today is an exciting episode. I think we just wanted to continue on with the spooky season stuff, and we figured this is a super special episode just because we are also recording video where I will be using this later for my YouTube channel, and then Rachel will also be using it for her YouTube channel as well.
Yes, so I'm super excited because I just want to go ahead and start this off by giving a parental discretion advised a warning at the top of this episode, because not only will our topic be very Halloween and spooky and scary this episode, but also we will be inviting my husband Clay the Bat from Bat and Cat Chat to the channel, and that's also a very scary prospect, so definitely parental discretion advised.
Very good. Yeah, so we had went through our list of films and we figured the Saw films are the next best horror scary film franchise to do, and Clay is a perfect addition because he is, I would say, a hardcore Saw fan, right?
Yes, he absolutely loves these movies. He's actually, like, I had seen these as a kid, obviously, when I was growing up. Like, the first three had, like, come out while I was, like, in middle school, high school, and I they were all right. I really just wasn't that into those kinds of movies at the time. I was just more scared by them and too afraid of them. And as I got older, I actually got opportunities to work on, and I'm not sure if I talked about this on the podcast before, but I had opportunities to work on things like The Walking Dead, and getting to work up close and personal with scary kind of content, and like getting to actually see the special effects in person and get to play with them and stuff, it really just took all of that fear I had revolving around scary movies completely away, because now, like, I'm just like looking at them with completely new eyes and I can handle it now. And I've always known it wasn't real, but like actually getting to see that it wasn't real really helped. So as when I got a little bit older and had those opportunities, I got more interested in seeing those movies, and Clay was very, very excited to get to show me all these movies and get to talk about the lore and the deeper meanings and whatnot behind Jigsaw and the whole franchise.
For sure. And we figured since we will be doing video recording as well, that we dressed up for the occasion, and each of us are all in cosplay and costume. So tell us who you are, Miss Rachel.
Today I am Wednesday Adams.
I love it.
And who are you today?
I am the amazing Holly Golightly from Breakfast at Tiffany's. So I have a fond love for Audrey Hepburn, and I said, why not?
I absolutely adore your costume. You are so cute. And I wasn't sure what costume you were going to bring to the episode, so I'm so excited to see this. So
thanks.
Adorable.
Yay. This is actually an early prototype for whenever I'm ready to go to cons again and whatnot, I would get the legit setup and everything. So this is an early version of Holly.
Oh, I love it. That's so cute.
Yay. Rachel approves. All right, well, I think we should probably get this review on the way.
All right, so should we bring our special guest on?
I think we should, but I want to add one more thing before we get started. Just to let everyone know, as these spooky episodes have been all over the place, this episode is going to be in same similar fashion, where we're going to be talking about different traps and more behind the film and everything. And so that's why we love that Clay is joining us today.
So without further ado, Clay the Bat from Bat and Cat Chat.
Yay!
I've done this on Zoom before.
This is our weekly ritual.
Yep, this is how we do it every single week. It's just the only difference is now we are recording the video this time. So woohoo! And we just got done introducing our costumes for the show. So, Clay, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you're wearing today?
Oh, I just threw that face you see usually on the YouTube in the trash and, you know, got face paint on.
So, this is a really cool face paint design that actually Clay came up with himself. And I think it looks really good.
Forever ago.
I'm glad that you wore anything with, like, why am I drawing a blank? Why can I not think of what they're called? Clown I can't say their name right now. I'm sorry.
Insane Clown Posse?
Thank you! I'm kind of glad that you wore stuff with Insane Clown Posse because I wanted to ask your feelings and thoughts on TikTok recently has brought a sound from one of the bands where they're reusing it. And I don't know if people are aware where that sound comes from. So I just kind of want your input on it.
That actually came from a album that was very, very small distribution. And now it's on Spotify and it's called Chop Chop Slide. I think it's a song that's super, super addictive on TikTok. Makes no sense because it's like some of the weirdest stuff ever, but that's TikTok. Right.
I do think it's crazy that nobody really knows exactly where it came from. I of course, because of Clay, recognized it immediately and was just like, oh my God, I can't believe like this is happening. And there are like a few people on TikTok who do get it and they're excited about like it like picking up. But I think there was somebody who like did it for Halloween decorations, and based on all of their tags and hashtags and just like the way that the lights were set up, I don't think they understood where the sound came from at all. They were just like, this is trendy on TikTok and I can make my Halloween lights do some really cool stuff with it. And it was a really cool, really cool setup though. So it has been fun to see everybody be creative with the sound.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think the fun thing is seeing everyone do those. Well, there's nothing fun about killing somebody, but the whole stabbing thing and then somebody's throwing blood on them. It's really neat how the editing comes together for that.
Yes, yes. Like, obviously, don't... You shouldn't murder, but murder for fun on TikTok? Ah, that's okay.
Well, I am excited to get into this review, and I'm super stoked that we have you on again with us, Clay. It's always a pleasure having you here with us.
It's been a while.
I can't believe it's been since Oregon that we've all gotten together to record an episode.
Oh, I know, right? And we had a conversation off camera and when we weren't filming where we had talked about the idea about bringing Clay on at least once or twice a season or something for these special reviews.
And I think this is the perfect episode to bring him on because Clay is an expert in horror movies and definitely an expert in Saw. Would you say that Saw is like one of your favorites?
One of many horror favorites of mine, actually. I've got too many franchises that I like in that genre.
I think it's safe to say that, again, as we always do, we get into spoiler territory. This is your last warning for spoilers, everybody, because we're getting into the nitty gritty of just different traps in the films and everything. Yeah. And it's crazy getting into, I mean, what, there's like 10 films, 11? I don't know how many there are, last count.
Nine.
There's nine? Does that include Spiral?
That includes the first six numbered Saws, Saw the Final Chapter, Jigsaw, and Spiral.
I forget that Jigsaw exists. I just always remember that there's like the six Saw movies and the Final Chapter and then the new Spiral. I always forget that they made Jigsaw.
Yeah, I watched all of the original films where it goes through the whole Jigsaw storyline. And then after that ended with the last Saw film, I didn't watch the film that came out after that where it focuses on Jigsaw. And then I still haven't seen the new one that just came out. And for reasons of, I would say when I was a kid, which is crazy because you opened up saying that, Rachel, where the first film came out in 2004. And I believe I was in sixth grade watching this. I don't know if I, as a parent, whenever I'm a parent, would allow my sixth grader to watch this if I'm doing the math right.
Honestly, I think the first time I ever actually sat down and watched all three of Saw 1, 2, and 3 was at a Halloween party, and I'm pretty sure it was the parents' idea to let us watch these movies. And I want to say that we were like in eighth grade then, because like they were coming out once a year then. So yeah, like I think I was like in eighth grade by the time the third one came out, and we had watched all three of them. But what were you thinking letting us watch these movies?
I saw them all in theaters.
Yeah, it kind of became a ritual to watch all of them as soon as they came out. And because, of course, you want to get another piece of the puzzle to what's going on in these films.
Yes, exactly. And the way that the movies come together in every single installment is really, really crazy and really amazing. So Clay knows more about it than I do, though.
Well, that's just because I like to piece puzzles together. It's a pastime of Saw movies.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because when the last final film came out, we all thought, okay, this is the end of the story. Until 2010, the rest of them started coming out.
Yeah, it was really crazy to have the rest of them come out. And then when you go and watch them, because I mean, very early on in the Saw franchise itself, Jigsaw actually dies. And then every movie after that is just basically supposed to be like closing out what he wanted in his final wishes. And so you get to the point where you've done all of the things and you can't do anymore. And so it was just kind of like, why are we coming back and why are we doing more? And it's just because of all these weird copycats. And and what are you going to say?
So you say that it's all said and done after each movie. But if you notice that after the second movie, during the second movie, most of the other sequels happen within the same week. They're actually happening on top of each other. Every time you get to an end of a movie, it closes that loop back to, oh, this is what happened at the end of the last movie. It all happens within a week.
Yeah, I can't remember which film it was, but the one where... I can't remember what the actor's name is. Mark Wahlberg's brother is in one of them. I don't know his name. And the one where he goes through the maze, the trap maze or whatnot, and then he gets captured and is on the ice, and then it brings you to the next film where it kind of closes that chapter out with that character. I believe that's how it went. It's been a while.
It's a very confusing Jigsaw, isn't it?
I would say my favorite thing about these films is Billy the Puppet. I've always loved Billy, and I love all the parody and satire that comes out from Billy, especially with Scary Movie 4, how Brenda and...
game.
How Billy and Brenda hook up...
He's probably one of my favorite things to come out of the Saw franchise too. I remember that when I was in high school, we actually got to dress up for Halloween one year, and one of the kids had actually dressed up as the puppet and actually brought a tricycle to school and everything, and was riding around the halls like on the tricycle, and it was the best. It was hilarious.
Yeah, no, I think they've done a lot of interesting jokes and things like that. And also all of the funny cosplays that you're mentioning. One in particular that comes to my mind, which was in 2007, early YouTube days. Somebody dressed up as Billy and is an adult on this little tricycle, and they're run like on it and says, "You want to play a little game?" And he just falls back and biffs it.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. So what would you say is like one of the scariest traps in your opinion?
I have a full list of traps that I went through because I found this website that goes through every single one, even the new film. And I really just, there's too many like creepy good ones, but the one that freaks me out the most, it's neck and neck between the scalper one and then probably the needle pit. For me, that's probably the number one.
For me, I think the scariest idea of a trap is probably the ice room where it's so simple, where they just have the woman chained up naked in that freezer and they're just spraying her with water. And she literally can't do anything just but hope that the other dude lets her out. Right. And I hate that one because for one thing, like literally she can't do anything to get herself out of the trap. And for another thing, just I hate being cold. I absolutely cannot stand being cold. The idea of just like being frozen to death, just god awful.
Yeah.
What about you, Clay?
Oh, we're doing scariest trap.
Hmm. What trap would you not want to be caught in?
Any of them. The trap early on where it has to get the key from back behind his eye. There's no way that anyone can physically do that.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I could do it either because I can't even. One of the biggest things I want to do for cosplay is contacts. Can't mm-hmm. do it. Cannot do it to save my life. I cannot.
That one is probably, if I'm thinking through all of them, the most cringiest for sure, because if I'm thinking of all of the other ones, I could not do that where I had to like take my own eyeball out. There's just no way. Where you think of the other ones with Amanda, and I believe it was her fiance that she had to kill to get the key. Was it her fiance or was it a friend?
It was like a friend of hers or something, I think. But she had to cut through him to get to the key. And I mean, it would be hard, obviously. But I feel like I could do that. But like having to cut my own eye out, I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. It was one for drug dealers.
Oh, drug dealer? Oh, yeah, I could do that.
I want to go back and talk a bit about Amanda and her storyline, because I would say for me, she was one of my favorite characters in the film, just because I was really rooting for her to... It's a very complex story, I would say, with Amanda, but I was just really rooting for her to make it out alive at the end.
Yeah, I was really rooting at her, I want to say, in like the first two films, but mm-hmm. then after that I kind of was like I don't know how I feel about you. She was definitely an interesting character and I liked her character a lot, but I think it was she got like her neck slashed or something.
Didn't she get shot, which activated the
she either got shot or her neck somebody snuck up on her and got the one up on her and she died. And when it happened, I was like, I feel like you kind of put yourself in this position. You had every opportunity, like, not that Jigsaw is right, but you had every opportunity to do things the way that he wanted you to do them. That would have actually probably put you in more of a position to not be dead right now. And she didn't. What?
That's right. The reason she actually died was because she didn't play with the by the rules ever.
Yep. And she set up her own.
Yeah. Basically, didn't realize that one of the people in the traps was related to the other people, got rid of them, and enticed the spouse to kill her.
Yeah. And it is very interesting to see how dark she went down the rabbit hole, because thinking of the second film, going back to the needle pit where she's placed there to, I guess we could say, watch these people, make sure they're playing the rules right and everything, and it gets turned around on her where she's thrown in the needle pit. And that is just one of the most cringiest traps, in my opinion. I can't even imagine. Mm. And let alone the makers of the film said that they spent hours actually pulling out the needle stems.
They took the time to remove the actual needles and put those little retractable ones on there, and it took hours, and I can't even imagine. That must have been the most boring day. Just, and you have to make sure. Can you imagine, like, getting through all of them and being like, wait, did we get this one?
Yeah.
And, like, having to, like, go through and check all of them to make sure you actually got them. Like, oh. And
I would say that, thinking of a lot of them, that second film is probably what is, like, ingrained in the back of my head, where a lot of those traps, the crazy ones that I'm thinking of, come from that film. Especially, I would say the more easy one this chick could have gone out was the box, where all she could have done was stuck her other hand up to hold the blades up.
This was something I was telling Clay too, is I felt like the second movie's traps and like setup was a lot more memorable and stood out a lot more to me than any of the other films. And I feel like it was just, I mean, it was still like a literally, I think as somebody called it in the second film, but like literally just like a crap hole that they're in. But I felt like this one and the first one were a lot more distinctive than the rest of them, where I feel like the places that they were trapped in the rest of the films, like all felt like the same place, even though they were all like different. Most of them were different places. They all felt the same.
Yeah.
Where these two felt very distinctive and very much like this one is like the first movie was that gross bathroom. And then the second movie was haunted house. And then to me, the rest of the movies are just dingy warehouse.
Yeah.
There's a good reason for that, actually. If you notice, the first two films traps are the last actual Jigsaw traps.
Yes.
So he's more nuanced. He actually knows what he's doing. And after that, we're just seeing him be bad at his job.
A bad father to his horrible children.
And I would say it's just nuts how they do pull all of that together, where this, I would say all of this stems from him losing his child and his wife all at the same time. Well, wait. I can't remember. Does his wife die? I don't remember.
Well, she doesn't die while he's alive.
She pretty much orchestrates most of the later traps with some of his conspirators, but it's his baby that dies that actually doesn't even prompt them to do it. His baby dies and then he tries to kill himself and he survives.
And that's kind of what sets the whole, do you want to play a little game, where how much do you value life, but yet let's make everything really crazy.
Like, he wants to act like he's so high and mighty to people like Amanda. Because, I mean, Amanda made traps you straight up could not escape from. She intended you to die in her traps. Where Jigsaw's like, oh, well, my traps are escapable. And yes, you can make it out of his traps, but it's kind of like what one of the people in one of the later movies is saying, the girl who had to cut her own arm off and just never quite got over it, understandably, is just like, what did I learn from this experience, really? I don't have an arm now. I'm even more bitter than I was before. Though it did help certain people, like the doctor, it obviously didn't help most of the people who went through it. I argue that Amanda really didn't learn her lesson either, because she still didn't at any point want to play by the rules. And in a lot of ways, she just wanted to cherry pick the things that she liked about Jigsaw's mentality, I guess, and do what she want with it and make her own rules. So arguably, I can think of like one person who benefited from what Jigsaw did to them, and everybody else was just kind of like, I'm missing limbs now, thanks.
Doctor.
Yeah, the doctor's the only person who benefited from it in any way, I guess. And everybody else was just kind of like, I need intense therapy and I'm missing parts of my body now.
So, side note about the actress that got her arm chopped off, back in 2007 or something, there was a show on VH1 called Scream Queens, where I know, I miss it. I don't know why they didn't continue doing it, but she won, I believe, the first season of Scream Queens, and she got to star in a Saw film. And one of the easier ones that I would say, obviously there's no easy traps, and this, you can tell me whether this was an actual Jigsaw one or Amanda or whoever it was, but the one where I think there's 5 or 7 people with the buckets on their head, and all they had to do was give blood in order to beat the game.
I feel like I would have accidentally sawn like my whole hand or finger off doing that, though.
So ironically, that was actually one of Buckethead's traps. The dude's the guy on the far end was helping them set up that trap. He was actually alive at the end of the scene where everyone else dies with the buckets.
That is right. See, I'm glad we have a third person, because it's been years since I've seen any of these. So I told Rachel before doing this review, I'm sorry, I can't go back and watch any of these.
I just rewatched them all with Clay, and I can't keep any of it straight in my head. I just can remember that the traps are brutal. Is this the one that also has the lasers?
Ooh.
I love the laser trap. I think the laser trap is one of my favorites.
Remind me.
Jigsaw.
Okay, so the laser trap is like one where they had surgical lasers on a collar wrapped around your neck. So it was supposed to like slice your head open like it was an orange.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so I always kind of loved this one because they do a fake out in this one where they do the lasers and the guy just falls over and they're like, okay, he's dead. And I'm like, this is a Saw movie. They did not just show me a laser piece that can cut somebody's head open like an orange and then not show the head open up like an orange. Like, why would you do this to me?
And it's funny how things come together in jumping to one of the other films. I believe this was the last Saw film when it's out in Central Park. I don't know where it was in... The two guys are in the trap and their girlfriend who's cheating on both of them. And instead of killing one another, they say, forget this chick. And they choose to kill her.
Well, they both just found out that their girlfriend was cheating on them.
I don't blame them, though, because the whole time, and I mean, arguably, you have a Saw staring you down, and you're probably thinking, I will do literally anything to get myself out of here right now. But she was just sitting there playing both of them, just like, like this one's feeling like catching feels right now. Like, yes, I love you. Oh, it's not working on him anymore. Hello, baby over here. Will you save my life? Like,
that's one of the most interesting traps, too, because I feel this is one of the first and only that was out in public that they did something.
With an audience, yeah.
But that is just one of the most interesting traps in particular because, again, it's pinning these people against each other where this woman was playing the two of them and cheating. And I just think there is something a little comedic about that trap, too, where they're looking at each other like, you know her? Wait, you know her? What's going on?
Yeah, that one, and also the carousel trap, like the one where they're on, well, the merry-go-round thing.
Yes.
The playground thing, and they have the shotgun, like that whole, not even just that trap, just like that whole setup in general where that guy had to basically go through and was just killing employee, person he knows, like over and over and over again, and that one was just terrible. And
yeah, definitely. And that's what I think a lot of these traps do is one person is supposed to be learning their lesson, but yet Jigsaw and all of them like to include either family members, friends, or somehow you know the other person. But again, not always the case.
Is this one that Jigsaw did?
No.
Okay.
That's
so
him dying.
Okay, so I do want to ask this then. Is the one where with the ice thing that I was talking about earlier, is that also Jigsaw or is that somebody else?
It was designed by Jigsaw, executed by the detective.
Okay, but
so he messed it up basically because he was supposed to die when he got electrocuted with the water, and he noticed there's a time where the water hits him perfectly and he survives.
No, not the ice block. The one with the girl in the ice.
Oh, yeah. That was a Jigsaw design Amanda set up.
But did Amanda set it up correctly outside of her f***ing it up at the end?
She was already kind of going nuts because she was thinking that
My point is that were the people who were in the traps who couldn't get out of the traps outside of, like, the dude letting them out, was that intended by Jigsaw?
I see what you're getting at. So every trap in that game that he plays is winnable by him. The people that are actually participants cannot get out.
Okay, see, I don't think that's fair on Jigsaw's end, because his whole thing is like, you should be able to get out of the traps, and they didn't have any ability to get themselves out of the traps. It was all entirely based on another person. And I mean,
they help cover up a kid getting killed, though, so they're not exactly innocent.
I agree with that, but also they didn't have any way of redeeming themselves if they didn't have a way of getting out of the trap either.
And there's there was no one.
Lessons learned.
Exactly.
There's one unwinnable trap in that too.
Which one?
The cross one where his head's turning and everything, and then his limbs are turning. Like, even if he were to get the key and everything, there's no way you could actually get the key in all those places enough times to
let
him survive.
Well, if as long as you get the one on his neck first, he's gonna survive. He might be losing limbs along the way though. But again, what lesson are you learning?
Or I would say the one from Saw 5 where we find out we have the one detective that's been trying to figure everything out since I believe the second movie. And then there's the other, I'm pretty sure he was a detective that is now on Jigsaw's side. In that one end part where he thinks he's going to die and he doesn't, and he goes through the chute underneath or something when the room is closing. And he survives.
The glass box?
Yeah, where he's like in that coffin at the bottom and he's like, bye-bye. That made me so sad because I was really hoping, and I don't remember if it was Peter or Mark who was the good cop, but it just killed me that somebody was getting so close to figuring this out and ending it. And
then they got smushed.
Yeah.
It was their own temper that messed them up too.
And that's what it was, is that trap was made for that one detective to live if he actually went in the box. And I believe, and you can tell me whether this is right or not, but I believe that this was done by Jigsaw because it was meant for his one guy that's under him to actually get rid of him at this point, but it was like, gotcha.
It was the bad detective's final test, kind of like Amanda had to go through the other tests and failed miserably. But he somehow just won by default.
He was really good at winning a lot of the Jigsaw traps because he's one of the survivors of the reverse bear trap, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Actually, Jigsaw's wife put that on him.
Regardless.
His first trap was in a chair where he was bound with a shotgun next to him. It was one of Jigsaw's first traps ever.
Oh my God.
I also think it's worth mentioning the first movie too, where those two individuals wake up in this bathroom where we find out the big twist at the end of the first film where he's been alive this whole time in Jigsaw in the middle of the room. And it's just funny how the first movie, as you were saying, Clay, it all comes together in that last film with the gentleman who is the sandy blonde hair. I don't remember his name. I'm sorry.
Dr. Lawrence.
I love the first film so much because, I mean, like, all like the way that it all comes together and builds together off of its, like, off of each film is very cool to watch come together. But there was something like that was very, very fear inducing and skin crawling about this first film. Not like that the traps like that get worse and worse along the way, like aren't scary in their own way, but there was something like very different about the way that the first movie scared you. And I normally don't like concepts where it's like you're stuck in one room and one set piece like for the entire movie. Normally I feel very claustrophobic in these kinds of movies and I don't like to watch them, but it worked for this movie because like just it made it feel more scary and more gross, and you were just so ready for them to find the next piece to possibly get them out of the trap. And I felt like they're all really good, but the first one is probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
That whole trap could have been avoided if he didn't panic when he woke up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And again, it's wild where skipping to the last film, we find out that guy that was in the room, we're thinking he's just an innocent bystander in this whole thing where, no, he's been in on it.
That was his first test, though. That trap was legitimately a trap he was in the first movie. and he survived right. that trap.
That is right, because I think the way it ends, it shows the other young guy that was in the room with him that he's been in that bathroom for we don't know how long.
Yeah, we keep coming back to that bathroom and you just like see like just like this decayed gross body in there, and it's just like, oh, dude never made it out.
Do we really know what the exact timeline is from the first movie to it ends?
So the first movie is almost a pseudo prequel to the entire franchise, because there's such a time jump between the first movie and the second movie that there's already skeletons in that room.
Right.
And that second movie actually starts this whole week-long event where Jigsaw is on his last legs, like he's already dying in the second movie, that spearheads all the setup for the next, all the way through Saw, the final chapter. All those traps are being set up, executed within a week and a half. And then Jigsaw is all the people like Dr. Lawrence and everything coming back as a legacy, trying to like bring the idea of Jigsaw back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually technically still the same group, so they're not copycats, they're still the right. same accomplices. That happens about a year and a half later, I think, and then Spiral happens a decade later by copycat.
Got you. I feel like I do need to watch this one. I'm looking at the info online, and I just feel it's a way, because I missed the one obviously prior to this film. I didn't see the Jigsaw one and whatnot, but I feel that this probably gives a closeout. And plus, I love the cast, how they have Chris Rock in it, Samuel L. Jackson, Max, I hope I pronounce his name right, Minghella? I can't say it, but he's the guy, Max, from Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, yeah. I like the cast, the whole cast in this movie is so much fun. And the movie is actually, it's definitely a Saw like movie, even though it doesn't have the name, but it's definitely a lot of fun. I mean, like, as far as like a good movie and good cast.
Would you guys say that because of the time difference, where obviously when these first films were made, it was a different time, things could be shown in theaters and in movies that can't be now today, would you say it still has that Saw essence to it?
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. a beautiful movie.
There were actually a few traps that I almost included that were from Spiral and not from the Saw and Jigsaw movies.
Oh, that one with the fingers. That was, oh.
There's like one that I was going to bring up where he's like, this guy is like caught up by his tongue on like, and like standing like on like a thin little board, and he has to rip his own tongue out before he gets run over by a train.
Hence why I don't watch these films anymore.
Yeah, I definitely feel like there's certain traps from the older films that wouldn't make it in today's films, but they still find a way.
One in particular that I will always second guess whether it's how real it could be is the scalper from Saw 4, where the woman is shackled and her ponytail is caught. My general thought of that is, would your hair just break off, or is your scalp gonna actually come off with that?
I feel like I want to say that because of the way that her hair is braided, like something actually tugging with your hair in like a braid like that, I think it could easily rip your scalp off very easily. This is a wig.
I'm not going to lie. I was thinking the same thing.
Let's test this theory. So what's interesting about that is they've had director interviews where they actually enlisted scientists and like physicists and stuff like that to incorporate how, not necessarily if these traps could exist in the real world, but how they would be executed with real world physics.
Mm-hmm.
So technically it's supposed to be scientifically accurate. So y'all asked me about my, scariest trap earlier?
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite traps.
Oh, he wants to talk about his favorite trap.
just because we've been seeing the set piece over and over again, it finally happens, is the actual spiral trap where the dude's going down and getting cut by like metal beams that are spiraling in a row. It's fantastic.
Do you remember that newer one?
It's in Jigsaw, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that one was in the Jigsaw movie. I don't know if you said you got to watch that one or not. But basically what it is, it's like this big giant like cone-shaped thing, and like it lowers your body into the cone, and inside of the cone is a red spiral, very reminiscent of the spirals. And you have to like, it's being run by a motorbike, and the brake is all the way down in the bottom, and you have to reach your hand as the machine is lowering you down in and grab the brake and shut it off. But you're getting cut up by the spiral as you're being lowered down.
Yeah,
you just
to put your hand through.
You just blew my mind, because I would have never have correlated Billy's cheeks
to an actual trap.
Well, to being part of the spiral. I never thought of that.
Yep, the little spiral thing in his cheeks.
Oh, that is clever. Getting into the ratings, I did not look up the Rotten Tomatoes scores for any of these, because we were going in this talking about all of the films, so I felt it just wasn't needed to give the individual scores.
Well, no, and it's a mixed bag too, because like when you like watch them on Vudu, like it'll actually show you like what your score is, the audience score is, and like what the Rotten Tomatoes score is. So we were able to compare everything as we were going through and rewatching them. And it would flip from time to time. Like sometimes the critics would love it and the fans wouldn't be into it. More often than not, the fans would really be into it and the critics wouldn't be into it. There were a lot in there that everybody was just kind of like, meh. But yeah, it was like a really weird mixed bag as far as the different ratings went for the entirety of the Saw franchise.
For sure. Well, I think we'll give Clay the floor to give his popcorn rating first.
So the first movie was great on its own, but the whole series overall, if I could, I'd like to give it an extra large bucket of blood. Because it is fantastic.
Appropriate. That is appropriate.
Oh, so gross. But I guess yummy if you're a vampire.
Edward would appreciate it.
Yes, yeah. We ruined it for.
But yeah, great, great franchise overall.
As for myself, I kind of feel like Clay, like the franchise as a whole, I actually not like Clay. I would actually give the whole franchise probably like a medium bucket of blood.
We're sticking with the blood.
Okay, a medium bag of popcorn.
No, you're good.
Okay, a medium bucket of whatever the heck. So I would give like the franchise as a whole a medium, like there's some that like I wasn't as into as others, but I feel like it tells a really solid story, even though mm-hmm. it's a little convoluted. Like it does a really good job of like telling, like doing what it wants to do. Like Jigsaw is pretty interesting as a villain, as an antagonist, and I also like all of his little conspirators as well. I thought the introduction of his wife was really cool, and Billy, I mean, come on. He's such an iconic little character. How can we not love him? So I would definitely give it a medium. But if I just want to like, I just want to add that the first movie on its own, I would actually give a large, not an extra large, just a large, just because it's so scary in its own very special way.
Yeah, I have to give a similar rating as to what you did, because my younger self would rate these a large for sure, and going to more of my adult side, I would have to give the series a medium, just because now I'm not into gore like that anymore. But I would say the first movie, if we're just gonna rate that, I would say the first one was very well done. Exactly as you said, the storyline is good, it's entertaining, and they closed it out and gave a really great ending. So the first one, I'll give it a large for being a great horror film and thriller and everything, but I would say medium bag of popcorn or medium blood bag or whatever we're doing.
Basically, I feel like if you don't want to watch the entirety of the Saw franchise, you should definitely at least check out the first one.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
Then the next date.
Close it out, because yeah, no, Clay's right, because when you watch that first film, it opens up for all of the other films and you don't get any closure really with that first film. You do, but
it leaves it very open-ended for the rest of the story that it wanted to tell.
Yes.
And they all come back.
Yeah, that too. Awesome. Well, I think that is a wrap for this episode. And I think it's worth mentioning, we appreciate any time you come on to the podcast, Clay.
It's fun. Definitely a different format.
Definitely a different format than what we're used to with our Pokemon box opening and our Let's Plays. But if you are interested in watching more Bat and Cat Chat and some Pokemon box openings, we have some celebrations. Well, have all the celebration stuff gone up yet?
Oh, we still got one coming in the mail.
I don't know exactly when this is going up as far as when our videos are going up, but we have celebrations. Definitely going to be doing more Evolving Skies because that's my favorite thing. And of course, we're going to be doing some spooky Let's Plays for the rest of October. So definitely be looking forward to that. You can find us on YouTube as Bat and Cat Chat.
Slightly less family friendly.
Yeah, definitely parental discretion advised.
And then for anyone on the Bat and Cat Chat channel, you can find me where I do product reviews and niche things at HairGirl992, where you can check out a lot more interesting things on my channel.
And anybody here on Bat and Cat Chat who likes me and Nikki, you can find us anywhere that you listen to your podcast as Two Girls, One Review. And we basically do what we just did here almost every episode. We just talk about movies and stuff that we like. So come gab with us.
And we will say that this is our last review for the month of October, guys. We have one more special bonus episode coming your way. We're not going to leave you high and dry, but this is it for our spooky season, everybody. And we'll be taking the first week off of November, so don't expect to do episode, but we will be back in November with some fun new fall films, and that will lead us until the end of season 2.
And if we didn't talk about a scary movie or a spooky Halloween film that you wanted to hear about this season, just let us know. Maybe we can talk about it later on down the line, or maybe next spooky season.
Yeah, for sure. We are not going anywhere. We are still here. But until next time, everybody.
Bye. What?
Sorry, I was just thinking about Stewie riding around on a tricycle looking
like Jigsaw.
Yeah, that'd be cute. You hear that, Seth MacFarlane? Do it if you haven't done it already.